Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! Yeah! And now, here are your hosts, Alex Salmon and Justin Tyler!
Yeah! What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I'm Alex.
And
we're a little short-handed today.
Yeah, we have all of them. Well, Pete.
Yes, Pete is gone, or Pete, our co-host, is gone probably for Thanksgiving. I don't know. He had to, like, hunt some turkeys or something.
He celebrates pagan holidays.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving started as a pagan holiday.
Right, yeah. He's keeping it firmly in the...
He's keeping it fresh?
He worships the sun, the moon.
Does he?
Rocks.
Yep. Really?
That's why he's so mad all the time.
All right. And Kenny, our announcer, also is not here, hence the reason I was announcing.
It's a vacation week.
Yeah. Are they, Pete and Kenny, are they sacrificing stuff together, you
Probably.
Think?
Probably. Maybe each other.
Cool. What's your favorite... Let's bring it back to comic books. What's your favorite Thanksgiving superhero?
Oh, that's Cranberry Sauce Man. Obviously. Yeah? The short-lived Valiant character.
Oh, okay. I like Yam Man.
Yeah, he's Yam
Man.
Yam Man.
And he had as a sidekick, Marshmallow Boy.
Yeah, it's a great day. I can see what you're... You must be hungry.
I'm very hungry.
Great.
Yesterday, I had a stomach flu, so I didn't eat all day, so...
Really?
Yeah.
Is everything all right? Have you been overworking yourself?
I've been kind of, yeah. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into your issues.
Or should we get into the show?
Let's let the audience decide. What do you guys think?
Do you want to
hear deep,
yes.
deep right, personal want... issues or fun?
All right. Well, we're very excited to bring on our guest who loves talking about his deep personal issues. He's the co-creator of World Dominated Incorporated, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Kroll!
Yeah!
Hi, guys.
Awesome.
What up?
Do you prefer Matt or Matthew?
Matt. Matt is good.
Great. Now, for the last name, are you related to the classic 80s movie Crawl in any way?
No, but I've been asked that a lot.
Really?
But I cannot wield the weapons that man
can. Oh, the glaive?
I can't do it.
Glaive? Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the whole thing, is he's the only one that can work the glaive.
Is he?
Right.
I don't
know.
So.
Yeah, that's his whole thing. Is just,
I'll tell you what, since we're talking about personal maladies a lot of this show, every time I tried to watch that movie, it gave me a headache, and I couldn't watch it.
Really?
I owned the comic book adaptation of Crawl, and that's how I knew the story, because I could read that through, but I couldn't watch the movie.
That is weird. What
it just had one of those like 80s slow pacings to it that just freaked me out.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a deep personal issue, going back to what the audience sort of wanted, but so that's good.
There you go. Exactly. We're giving the audience what they wanted.
I know, they're really
and
huge
another thing
fans.
That they want to know about World Dominated Incorporated. So you just finished the Kickstarter for that.
Yes. Kickstarter is officially done. Basically, what World Dominated is a web series based around six supervillains who have officially won and taken over the world. The only problem now is they have no idea what to do with the world that they conquered.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a comedy, or I hope it's funny. And it starts there. It starts with them sort of in the boardroom deciding how the world should be run.
So it's a lot of spreadsheets and urban
bureaucracy.
Planning.
There is a lot of bureaucracy.
One of the
villains, Mr. Black, he's sort of the corporate villain. They all sort of
follow. I'm sorry, you
archetypes.
Have a problem with. Like Black, he's your villain.
That's what?
Mr. That's Black.
Pretty, that's
no,
pretty
that
weird.
Could mean,
I'm just saying.
That's you're caught up in a tide.
You're caught up in the whole thing. Everyone on Facebook has a law degree now.
Yeah, no, it's true. Oh boy.
Oh yeah,
wow.
No.
We're
well,
such a topical.
Can
show.
We just wait because we start off with the interview, then we go into the stack, then we talk about Ferguson.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, we'll go back. We'll go back.
Yeah, and it's been for years. It was a really boring segment, and then only
now,
recently it's really lit up.
What's going on with Ferguson, Justin?
Oh nope, just people. Living their lives. There's some racism, sure, but no real incendiary incidents.
Yeah, has nothing to do with comic books. Moving on. So World Dominated Incorporated. So walk us through the characters.
So basically, they all follow sort of supervillain archetypes, but they're all original characters. There's Mr. Black, who is the corporate villain. Cadence, who is the science and sort of technologies villain. Lord Demonius, obviously a demon lord. Majestico the Great, a 1970s stage magician sort of villain who is powered by magical cards. Janosch the Bull, who is like street crime and all that sort of like gang activity. And then the Silencer, who is the only one with superpowers. He is a mime that anything he mimes becomes true.
Oh, he's... Whoa.
And he's a psychopath. And the only reason he's actually alive and on the board is because the other five can't figure out how to kill him.
Right.
So
Yeah, that's actually a world problem as well. Yeah. We can't figure out how to get rid of mines.
All the
in
mines.
In general, yeah.
Yep.
Can't get to that box.
No.
It's got that strong box.
So let's take it back to the Kickstarter a little bit. I always think it's interesting. Everybody approaches these in a different way. Everybody learns a different lesson from the Kickstarter. So from going through the process, what did you take away from it if you're going to do it again?
Well, we... We learned that if you're going to ask for, and my co-creator coined this term, a metric fuck ton of money, you need to sort of get the campaign going before the Kickstarter even starts. Because we asked for, and I'm not ashamed to say it, a very high number in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. But we did a lot of research beforehand about basically what Kickstarters work, how you can actually do that, what success stories there were, and we took a gamble. Mm-hmm. That was sort of the first round. So, spoiler alert: we didn't make our Kickstarter goal. It didn't make it.
A supervillain interceded.
I know.
I'm guessing,
right?
The 70s magician.
He did, or the heroes that were trying to oppose them. Either way. Yeah. Basically that was our first ditch effort as trying to be like, we want as much creative control of this as possible. And now we're sort of, stepping forward and now bringing it to series and sort of trying to pitch it like in the more legitimate non-crowdsource channels.
Yeah. Well, how, if this isn't going to get too uncomfortable very quickly, how close did you get? What did you actually pitch it for? And...
Okay.
Well, I'm curious.
It's important. It's important. It was, I'm trying to remember the whole number, it was $700,000.
Okay.
And the reason was, here's the deal, and I'll tell you how close we got, because it's fun. The reason we did it was, everyone who was involved in the project has done, like, job, like, passion projects for friends, things, web series, etc. That, you know, just, you know, hey, can you come over for the weekend? Can you help me out with this thing?
Sweat equity?
Yes, sweat equity all around. This time, and we actually, we basically budgeted it out as if it was going, like, the budget for, I mean, the script, there's 12 episodes, it's 147 pages. So it's basically the length of a feature. And we wanted to make it with this certain amount of quality or not make it at all. There's obviously some effects work that has to happen near the end. Yeah. There's some fights. And you have demons fighting angels on top of skyscrapers, and it gets a little expensive. But, so we wanted to make sure that everyone involved, it wasn't a favor project, and that it was, if you're going to do this, we're going to pay you for your craft, as opposed to just like, hey, come over for the weekend and shoot this funny thing.
Yeah.
So that's why we did that.
Once you get the unions involved.
Dun, dun, dun.
Those Teamsters.
We made, I believe, a little upwards of $10,000.
Yay! Yeah, I think you can applaud that.
It's still, I mean, I was amazed how many people I knew and then I didn't know sort of came out of the woodwork and did donate for that. And I've donated to a couple Kickstarters myself, and a lot of them, I mean, it's amazing what hits and what doesn't. I mean, even ones that aren't asking for exorbitant amounts of money.
You can make a mumblecore movie with that money.
A mumblecore movie?
With $10,000?
Where the supervillains talk about
the way Kickstarter works.
I know how Kickstarter. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying you didn't get any of it.
Huh? Yeah.
You're really rubbing it in.
You're rubbing it in. You're rubbing it in.
If only I did Indiegogo, I would have gotten like 30% or something of that $10,000.
Yeah.
Websites. Or you just rob people.
So now you're taking it to the pitch stage. You're hoping to still get something close.
Yeah, me and my co-creator, he and I are basically reworking into two versions. One to pitch it to sort of web channels, like that sort of venue. And the other one, because we have a few connections here and there, like we want to take it to, if we want to keep it short form, Adult Swim, or to actually spec out a couple of our scripts to be half-hour long things. And it could really work. And also, there was talks, a lot of people say, because this is all I didn't mention, it is a live-action piece.
Yeah.
I should hope for that budget. And
it's not just told person to
guess. It's just me on a stage reading all the characters.
Wow. Well, I could see how that could get expensive real fast.
Yeah. I can't
afford. They were taking a 5,000% profit on that.
But and there's talks of maybe turning it into something animated to knock down the price and that sort of thing too. So we have a bunch of sort of venues and basically people that have come to us and said, when you're ready to show us this, please come forward. Like the people that liked the Kickstarter campaign and then wanted to see what happened and then saw what happened and still talk to us. So that's kind of nice.
That's good.
That's a win.
And now that you've done the Kickstarter once and it didn't quite work out, but would you tackle it again? And if so, what would you do differently?
I would
ask for $10,000.
Ask for $10,000.
The sweet spot.
Yeah.
I would do it for a smaller project. to be perfectly honest. I would, if I, for instance, if I wanted to, and this has been talks too, if I wanted to do World Dominated Incorporated, the comic book, I would go to Kickstarter, because I think that's something that someone like myself, who, I mean, I have no sort of like, the people donating don't really know who I am unless they're my family or friends, so like, I would want to set the bars towards sort of at that $10,000 range, knowing that that's what I can make now, without having done a whole campaign before the Kickstarter, which a lot of people do now, which I'm shocked at. I didn't know that beforehand. But like, people start their media machines months beforehand.
That's my favorite part about friends Kickstarters, is when they start talking about it months, sometimes years in advance. It's like a baby, but worse.
It's the worst. Can I just say this? And I don't know how many people here. Have you got? You said you've done a Kickstarter before. It just hurts talking about it all the time. Like it's miserable to the point of like you have to post about it every day. But like by the first week, you just don't want to bug your friends about it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, plus it's such a saturated, and no discredit, because I know a ton of people that do it. Like, it's so saturated to the point where you're like, oh look, this guy's doing a Kickstarter. Okay, great. Cool.
Well, I will tell you, and this is the one thing, and I hate saying this out loud because now you're all welcome to do this, but anytime somebody sends me a personal email towards the end of their Kickstarter, like, I have ignored it for 4 solid weeks. They'll send me an email and be like, hey, Alex, I'm so sorry to bug you personally. Could you donate to my Kickstarter? I'm like, oh my God, okay, yes, I'll do it. And I absolutely donate every single time.
There you
go. So for better or for worse, it works that way.
Yeah.
Just, you got to bug people for that.
Handwritten notes.
Handwritten notes. Yeah.
But in terms of anticipation, we've been doing the show for like, what, eight and a half years?
It's going to actually be our eight-year anniversary in like 3
weeks. Awesome.
That's right. And this has all been in anticipation of launching our Kickstarter.
Which is coming soon.
It's coming soon. Another 8 years and we're going to get there.
We're asking for $60.
It's not going to happen.
No, we're not going to make it. We're not
going to make it. So you have a couple of other things going on. Yeah, you just wrapped on the new season of Guy Code, right?
Yep. We just wrapped that shooting today, so that'll be coming out in January. I'm one of the producers on the show. And that was really exciting. This season is sort of, I mean, I hate to say it's the best season of Guy Code. I don't know. Has anyone seen Guy Code?
Yeah.
It's awesome. I'm very, very happy with it this season. So,
well, I got to say, like, I watched the first 3 seasons and the plot didn't really come together, so I stopped watching the 4th season.
Season 4, the plot goes all over the place. Season 5, we're bringing it back. There's going to be a through line underneath the entire thing. Is Andrew Schultz actually the villain of the entire thing? I don't know.
I would say, I predicted that probably. The first time I saw that mug.
It's a surprise. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. Totally. I heard that there's going to be a whole, like, Flash Sideways type thing going on in this season.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
With Gabrus.
Whoa, that's crazy.
You're
seeing Arrow, right? So it's like he's on an island.
Yeah,
you're gonna find he's on an island. He's gonna become a great.
I spent 5 years on a deuterific island.
Yeah,
that's it. I don't hire
learning how to drink the most beer.
Hire us to write for your show.
Yeah.
Done.
Great.
Well, I do think it's hard to. I mean, it must be hard to keep coming up with guy territory.
It's. You know it's not.
No?
No, like, and it's, the joke is always like, oh, this season we're going to run out of shit to talk about. We don't run out of shit to talk about. And even if it sort of edges on to stuff that we have, topics we've done sort of before, anytime we do, we have done like 2.0 topics. Like, if you want to talk about like manscaping again, you do manscaping 2.0, and there's different shit from different people every time. And you're like, oh, I didn't think about that when shaving my pubes. So, you know.
Have you guys done beer or football yet?
We have done beer and football.
Okay, all right.
We have.
Great question. Just on spitball.
We have.
That's Alex learned that from observing men.
Ah, yes.
I've been hanging out in parks.
In their natural habitat.
Yes. From your strange science post.
As somebody who likes geeky stuff, though, when you're on a show like Guy Code, we know most of the people who are on Guy Code, or we know they're uber geeks. It's not the geekiest show ever. Do you guys ever get to sneak any of that stuff in?
I try whenever I can. And there's actually season 5, there's a lot of geeky stuff. Surprisingly, a fun little fact, I don't know how much is going to make it in, and this is some real geek shit, but like, a lot of stuff came out naturally from some of our guys about Pokemon this season. People were making a lot of Pokemon analogies, and I'm going to try to, I hope one or two get through, but after a while we're like, we'll just tone down the Pokemon references.
And the network notes coming back.
But that was cool. And also,
you had one entire episode. It just ended with people saying Pika Pikachu.
Yes.
For 10 solid minutes.
But, geeky stuff whenever you can. I mean, I like, It's so just sort of mainstreaming now to the point where, like, if someone makes a Wolverine joke, like, everyone gets it. Like, that's the whole audience. It'll be fine. So whenever that stuff can sneak in, I love it when we can do that.
Yeah, people are forgetting about whole football teams now because they're so focused on comic book superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, no one even knows.
Did you know, actually, so this Thursday coming up is Thanksgiving. Yep. Did you know that there's going to be a big comic book on television?
Yeah, right. All day long.
That's pretty
Everyone
exciting.
Everyone gathers around.
Cool.
If people do want to find out more about World Dominated Incorporated, where can they check out?
It's at www.wdi.pw, which is the... Hold on. There is a story reason it is PW.
Yeah?
It's
because it's sponsored by Publishers Weekly?
No, yeah. Because Mr. Black, the corporate villain, basically bought the domain in 2006, and he decided it was supposed to be rebranded from like Uruguay or whatever it was supposed to be into the professional web, and it never took off, but he's sticking by it. Nice. And the domain was $3.99.
All right.
Yeah, nailed it.
So there's the story reason
W's.
and the monetary reason.
Awesome. Well, very cool. We'll definitely everybody check that out, and we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
We sure do like to call it that. Now, in the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that we particularly like this week. Go to bat for them. First one we're going to talk about, this is New Avengers number 26.
New Avengers number 26. It's a crowd favorite.
For those of you listening at home, the 500 people are in attendance, all applauded simultaneously, but never
canceling.
Actually joined.
They canceled each other's.
They created a sonic, inverse sonic boom.
And just all the oxygen left the room completely.
Yeah, it was crazy. A couple of people died.
Big fans of the old Avengers? Is that the idea there? That these guys are too fresh for you? You like the new Avengers. Okay, cool. Now you're ready to talk.
The new Avengers always talking about pogs and slap bracelets.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's talk about Sock Ops.
Guys, you need to freshen up. Yeah, Sock Ops, the original Avengers. So in this book is written by Jonathan Hickman. It's the time's running out in 6 months. That's how you know this guy has a plan. The masthead here says in 6 months, time runs out.
I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Exactly. We don't plan our lives.
That's a long damn time.
Yeah, this guy's got a year.
Well, this is all leading up in 6 months. Marvel is hitting back with their classic storyline, Secret Wars, which brings everybody together on Battle World. All of the superheroes and supervillains are going to fight. Big, fun, hopefully, deal. So what do you think of the lead-up so far?
I like it. His writing is very dense. You're like, all these characters are really going through it. Iron Man's locked in a weird cage. All these guys, one of them, the name is Glaive, ironically, that we talked about.
Oh, he's there back? Corvus yeah. Glaive is
Corvus
back?
Corvus Glaive is back.
I'm so excited.
Yep, the little elf man. And there's so much happening. It's a great read. It's sometimes you have to like look up words, even. That's like
this is,
a context
I got to be honest. This is my problem that's kind of put me off as Avengers, and I want to wait and read it in the biggest trade possible. It's so dense, and it's lacking in emotion that it's hard for me to hook into it.
I sort of had that with ever since Infinity. Ever since Infinity and now into this stuff, like I feel like it's hard. I still read it and I still love it, but it's hard, especially like looking up words or trying to figure out what exactly is going on. It doesn't have like sort of the human sort of touch of some of the earlier like large events.
I mean, I understand that, but reading this, another issue that came out this week was Uncanny X-Men written by Brian Michael Bendis, and fully half of the issue is like a retelling of the X-Men story, which I find it's like what. I know this so hard. I could draw this on the back of my palm with my finger.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
So you think, I mean, you're saying that you like the approach of in 19 new things versus half an old thing.
Right. Like, I feel like Bendis is doing, like, the USA Today of comic books with Uncanny X-Men.
Right.
And Jonathan Hickman is doing, like, some sort of deep dive subreddit. Shit, where you're like in the dark internet underneath the earth, and he's telling you all these crazy stories. That's the difference.
Okay, I'm definitely going to read it at some point. It's just right now he's such a smart guy and he's such a good writer.
Get your shit together and take a risk.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Well, no, I like a lot of his other stuff. Manhattan Projects is hilarious. I really like it. East of West has some crazy stuff to it, but has really good emotional family stuff as well. I'm trying to think of what else he's writing, but I don't know. There's something about Avengers. I just want to connect to the characters a little bit more. I want to hang out.
I agree. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, great. Let's move on. This is one of my picks. Fables, number 146, from Vertigo Comics. Again,
nice.
Weird
People
inverse
going
Sonic
crazy
Boom.
Crazy about this book.
It was
yeah.
nuts.
I guess these fables, the big bad wolf just isn't as cool as he used to be.
No, he's not. This, in case you guys aren't, if you guys aren't reading fables, don't start now because it's like three issues from the end. But this has been consistently one of the best books on the stands yeah. for years now. What,
yeah.
almost a decade? Probably?
Yeah, something
Maybe
like that.
More than
it's
a
crazy.
Decade. It's crazy.
It's so good that the author was like, oh, fuck, I only planned this to be 75 issues long. And he hit 75 and he was like, then these other people show up. Like, he had to just do extra credit yeah. homework on
So
that.
It started with the idea of what if all the fairy tale characters were sent to our world, and now it's finally wrapping up that story in the most apocalyptic way possible, where yeah. everybody is killing each other, dying in gross body ways, and it feels really final, and it's nice. It's just like, it's great
people
to read.
Dying.
He's been running these backup stories through every issue, which are like the last Prince Charming story,
yeah.
the last Three Blind Mice story, all of these characters that have been fun or ridiculous, but they're getting their final three pages.
Because you don't want people to be like, what happened to the Three Blind Mice at the end of the
but
day?
But he does it in a funny way.
Yeah, no, I think that's, yeah. I love it.
I think what's great about Fables is they do make you sort of care about characters like the Three Blind Mice. Like, the writing, I feel like, has been consistently so good where, like, if this is going to end, I want to know what happens to the frog on the farm or whatever the
yeah.
frog... Not the guy who's in... I left off a little bit ago, but, like, I want to know about... It's so convoluted.
I love these characters. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I've never read this
book.
No, but,
like, yeah. but Prince Charming, all that stuff, like, I do want to know sort of what happens to them if they're
yeah.
not even part of the overarching
totally.
Story.
He's not even charming anymore. The Three Blind Mice, get a mouse with sight in that group. Get someone in there who can help them.
Are you taking them to task?
I think they need someone to help them know where they're going. I think, and then you got Snow White, Rose Red. They hate each other. They're sisters.
Yeah.
Fix that family.
It's great.
If they hate each other again?
They hate each other the
now. They're on a path. They're going to go back and they're going to kill each other.
They weren't getting along so badly that they both swords just came out of their hands.
Pretty much. Does that ever happen to you when you like see somebody you don't like? Does a sword come out of your hand?
No, but that would be kind of awesome, wouldn't it?
It would be a great way to know you're not getting along with someone.
Right. Just shing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. We need to get a divorce. I just grew a fucking sword, babe.
Cool. Let's move on with another comic. Daredevil, number 10 from Marvel Comics. All right, there
okay,
we go.
Okay, that's coming alive
that
over here.
This time, only half the audience liked it, so you guys were able to hear it.
Sound
emitted
from them.
This comic is so good. For those of you who have been reading it, as opposed to Fables or Avengers, which we were talking about, this book is accessible in every single issue, and it's amazing. Daredevil's moved to San Francisco. He's fighting some old bad guys, some new bad guys. In this issue, there's a guy named the Purple Man who can control people's minds, who is one of the most horrible villains in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
He has somehow tricked all these women into having kids with him, and all the kids come together, and they're kind of horrible, too.
They're kind of purple and kind of horrible.
Yeah, they're kind of purple and horrible. This is bringing the storyline to a close, but it's... what I love about this comic book is every single issue, Mark Waid finds a new way of using Daredevil's powers, of abusing Daredevil's powers, this is Chris Samnee, right? No, this is, Chris Samnee is drawing this. Chris Samnee, the artist, also finds new ways of visually displaying the powers. This is an amazing book.
It's pro comics. It's like the Daredevil movie written down.
Yeah. That's
the review people like.
Yeah, there you go. If you guys have seen the Daredevil movie, it's like somebody wrote it down.
Yeah, it's like they finally took the Elektra movie and dumbed it down for the rest of us.
There was a script for the Daredevil movie?
Yeah.
No, that was an improv show.
That would be what it was.
Those are the candid shots from behind the scenes of the Daredevil movie.
Yeah. Now, are you a Daredevil fan at all?
I'm a Daredevil fan. I haven't kept up with the comic. What I want to know, though, is Purple Man, this whole plan... I mean, he's been setting up franchises for a while now. Like, this is a deep-seated, year-long plan.
It is. And then the kids are like, hey, why don't you go walk in front of a truck, Purple Man? And he's like, don't mind if I do. And then he gets hit by a truck.
Yeah,
and then after he gets hit by a truck, he uses his controlling powers to be like, hey, body, you're not going to die. And then he stands up and goes, beats the crap out of Daredevil.
I do that every morning.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Really?
Hey, body. Don't die today. We got a good 24 hours coming our way.
How's that working out for you so far?
Hey, I'm here. I'm desperately ill, but I'm still making my way in the world today.
Nice.
And it takes everything I've got.
Yeah.
The I like that you think that he was...
I'm sorry, are you taking a break from all your troubles?
Yeah, it sure would help a lot. Ding. The I like that you think that Purple Man was like setting up all these children. He was actually very upset that he had all these kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't his plan?
No. He wanted to just...
I mean, he wanted to have sex with some ladies.
Okay.
But there are consequences.
So you guys know.
Everybody.
To mind-controlling many women.
By the way, after we talk about Ferguson, we'll be talking about birth control.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're about to get into the pro-social section.
Because, yeah, our discussion about Ferguson gets people really wound up sexually, so we want to really then come to some birth control talk.
This is the most uncomfortable show we've ever done. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Amazing Spider-Man, number 10 from Marvel Comics. Now, Justin, this is the second part of the Spider-Verse storyline that brings together every Spider-Man ever. You've been a big fan of the storyline. What did you think of this issue?
I love this. Dan Slott is just moving through this very complex story, and it feels like he spends every day, every minute of his day, like literally thinking out how this is like. For those of you who don't know, there are like, I don't know, 60 different spider characters that have probably more than that. And he's showing them all in little bits and pieces, and you get to see them all interact and hang out. You want to see people hanging out.
Yeah,
these people
sometimes
are hanging
you want to
out.
Go where everybody knows your name, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And you got Norm Spider-Man. You got Cliff Clavin Spider-Man. All the great hits. Carla Spider-Woman.
Frasier Spider-Man?
Briefly. Then he sort of spins off into his own book.
Now, what do you guys think? Is Sam Spider-Man going to end up with Rebecca Spider-Man?
I mean, I think they'll be together for a while, and then I don't know if it's going to work out.
Right.
I think he'll end up trying to save her life and then snapping.
Also, did you hear that Marvel is launching a Frasier Spider-Man series?
Yeah, that's funny.
It's a spinoff.
That's great. I'm more of a fan of Woody Spider-Man than Coach Spider-Man. Right.
I am also looking forward to Marvel is launching a Tortelli's Spider-Man, but that's not going to last very long.
No, I don't think that is.
Yeah, you guys are big of Cheers fans, right?
Yeah.
Great.
No one's as big of a Cheers fan as you.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's true. What did you think about this? Anything in particular in this issue that you enjoyed other than the hangout elements?
Well, I like that they, in this Superior Spider-Man, which is Dr. Octopus, who's controlling the body of Spider-Man. He is in this book.
Well, here's the crazy thing that they're doing right now. So, Superior Spider-Man, way back, quick recap, but... what happened was, this is so complicated.
Yeah, I can explain it very, very simply.
Good,
so what happened
good.
Was Peter Parker has this great villain named Dr. Octopus. His name is Otto Octavius. Yeah. And they've been
Peter Parker?
Peter Parker, who is Spider-Man.
What is Spider-Man?
Spider-Man is this guy who was bitten by a radioactive spider, but he was not living with his parents because his parents had died. He was living with his Aunt May.
How did his parents die?
His parents, they were spies, potentially, and they died in like some sort of weird plane crash that no one talks about. Then he ended up living with his Aunt May and Uncle Ben, and he got these spider powers, and he sort of went a little crazy and was being very selfish. His Uncle Ben was killed by a robber that he actually let go, which really haunts him.
Man, this story was great. I would love to see this fleshed out in half of a comic book.
Yeah.
Right, I know, exactly. I wish they would really fill it out. Tell this story. None of us have heard this fucking origin before, so let's hear it. Spider-Man would eventually go on. He meets several women.
All right, can I interrupt real quick?
Yes.
Yeah, so Spider-Man died. Dr. Octopus replaced his plane. At some point during that, Dr. Octopus was sucked into the future. Peter Parker came back later on, but what we're getting right now, which is crazy complicated, is evil Superior Spider-Man is hanging out with real Peter Parker Spider-Man. Superior Spider-Man is like, oh, well, that has to be a Peter Parker Spider-Man from earlier in my timeline, because, of course, I'm alive and I'm never going to die. But Peter Parker Spider-Man knows that Superior Spider-Man is actually Dr. Octopus Spider-Man. So both of them know this thing that they think they know but can't tell each other. So
it's awkward.
It's very French farce.
So for those of you who, super, noises off in comic book form. For those of you who aren't comic book fans out there, I'm sorry for those last couple of minutes. And for God's sakes, does it make you not want to read comics more?
Ever. But this is actually a lot of fun. And like we were talking about with Daredevil, Dan Slott, even with a crazy storyline like this, does a great job of getting you caught up every single issue.
That's good, because especially because I'm normally more of a trade person, so I'll read Spider-Verse when it actually is all sort of together, and I stopped off after Superior, I believe, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And any of these stories that mix timelines and all that shit, when it gets to the point of, like, basically what we just what you just talked about. Yeah, yeah. Like, I get really scared off, and it's nice to hear. I was worried when I heard about this whole time, this whole storyline. I'm glad that it's turning out well.
It's so complicated that even the characters are like, wait, what are we all here for? They're like, you're here? What are you? Do we?
Yeah. The crazy thing is we didn't even talk about the villains, which is a family of Borlands.
Yeah,
which I don't think we should even bother to explain.
It's a family of vampire people who suck the essence out of the different spider characters who are the totems, and each different alternate universe Earth has a different Peter Parker or Spider-Man character that they have to touch get the totem for. And then they have another character called the Bride who is like intended to marry the Spider-Man character. And that's even worth more points. And the family splits up and goes to different multiverses.
Wait, you didn't explain who Morlun was.
Morlun is this guy who's a vampire, but they don't suck blood. They just suck essence, sort of like in the Dark Crystal when those guys suck the essence.
The Skeksis
suck the essence.
Sweet Dark Crystal reference.
I don't know if it's a direct reference, but it's definitely what's happening here. And they suck out their essence, and I guess they drink it, and then the other characters are like, oh. And then the other guy
Don't read comics.
Yeah.
You do an excellent quick recap of everything. That's
the pace I talk at normally.
Yeah. Did you know
this is
a true fact? Justin used to be the Micro Machines guy.
That's true. I look really young, but
that's true.
You're looking great.
Cool. I know. Well, if you speak quickly enough, you
well definitely. Young. Despite everything we just said, please pick up these comic
it's
books.
It's great. Start at the beginning.
Yeah, and that's it for the stack.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo. All right, guys. It is time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Woo. Yeah. Woo.
So, for audience questions, I'm going to come out to you guys. You can ask something for our amazing guest over here. You can ask something generally for the panel, something geeky, comic booky, whatever you want. Just ask a question, and we will answer it. Just raise your hand. You, sir. Yes, you right there. You want to ask a question. I know it. I know it. We'll come over to you next. Hi. Okay, what's your name, sir?
You're getting out of here.
Okay, what's your question?
We'll pick you in a minute.
What's your favorite villain-run story, like Mark Waid's Irredeemable or even Superior Spider-Man? Like, what's your favorite villain-run story that you can maybe, like, say inspired your story that's coming up?
Okay, nice. Good question. That's a good question.
Yeah, so what
villain-run story. Yeah. Honestly, the stuff back when Norman Osborn was running the Thunderbolts before all that, before Siege and all that jazz, before the Dark Avengers, that stuff... Warren Ellis? Is that...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
That stuff, holy crap, I loved that. I think it's so much fun to see sort of what went on with all these... I mean, sometimes, depending on who's on the Thunderbolts, these B and C listers, and then they just, you know, jock up there. But, seeing Norman Osborn run that whole team was amazing, and the dynamic with Moonstone and Bullseye and all that stuff, I loved that. So that would probably be my favorite one at this point.
Cool. Villains have more fun.
Yeah. Justin, what about you?
I like that's a tough question. There was a Doctor Doom series back in the day where it was him like living in his castle and like trying to romance and like he was trying to reconnect. Yeah, I think he was trying to like bring his mom back to life.
He was trying to romance his mom.
No. He was trying to romance this girl and also bring his mom back to life.
Was it Morgana Le Fay or what? Morgan Le Fay?
Yeah, maybe that's what it
seems was. Like that's the Doom love interest constantly that they're trying to kill each other.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he's a weird dude. You know, he can't figure out his taste.
He's trying to romance his mom. Come on, that's gross.
And he wears a mask all the time. Oh, you got to get through that.
Cool. It sounds like a French farce to me.
Yeah, I know. I've been reading a lot of Molière lately.
I think we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, but towards the end of Action Comics before the New 52, there was this run where Lex Luthor took over the title. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. Him going around the universe, kind of being a hero, but actually being a jerky villain. It was great. That was by Paul Cornell, I think.
Yeah.
There was also a Loki series that Assad Ribic did the art on. It was... Actually, the plot of that was Loki, years down the road, finally won, and then he didn't know what to do with himself.
Oh, fuck.
So why the fuck did you rip that off?
Damn it, Loki.
No. But it sounds like it was a much more serious take on it, and it was definitely him being like, I've got Thor trapped in my basement, wandering the halls of Asgard, being like, I don't know what to do with my life.
I have a much less sexually charged answer. The Shade series from DC, the Starman sort of half hero, half villain. Amazing. There were two. There was a 4-issue miniseries back when Starman was coming out, and they recently did a 12-issue series. It was awesome.
Cool.
Both great.
All right. Next question, please. You, sir, right back there coming up. Yes, you with the Yankees hat.
I think it's a Yankees hat.
Yankees hat.
There you go.
Come on up.
Come on up. Oh, Jeez. What's your name?
My name is Jason. I had two questions. I was here last week, and I didn't get to ask it.
All right. We don't. You got a chip on your shoulder? Or what's
yeah,
the deal?
A little bit.
Okay, well, let's get to him.
No.
Hey, I wasn't here last week either, all right? But you don't see me, like, you know, spouting off about it. I'm just saying.
We talked about TV shows last week. So I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on, like, ranking the comic book TV shows that are out now. Because there's a lot more than ever. But I also had a specific question for you. Is that cool, if I ask two? One directed at you?
Well, we'll answer that one, too.
All right, cool.
That's cool.
I didn't know if there was a one-question policy. But
no, there's a 10-minute policy.
All right. So would you ever consider turning your story into a comic book?
All right. Nice.
Yes, absolutely.
Great questions.
Yeah, I think that's a road that me and my co-creator have talked about, and I think it would be sort of a really good introduction, sort of more so to our series. Right now, just to clarify real quick, we do have like monologues and promos for each of the villains on that website. So there's video content. There's about 20 minutes of video content with that. But the comic book would be amazing. So I think we would.
I'm not. It dovetails nicely. I feel like they have converted a couple comic books into TV shows.
I've heard that.
I sure have.
So let's talk about
question number one.
Let's go back to question number one.
Great. So yeah, this should be super easy. To rank all of them.
You want to say our answers at the same time?
Oh, God.
Is that what you're saying?
All right.
So because we're, of course, going to be
online. Number one is
The
Manhattan
Flash.
Story.
What? No, I think we're going with comic books.
Oh, not all TV
also,
shows?
Also, that show has already been canceled.
Manhattan Love Story, A to Z, Selfie, and then everything else.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah. Okay, what do we have? We have Walking Dead, we have Gotham, we have Flash, we have Arrow, we have Constantine, we have...
Only 13 episodes.
Yeah, bummer.
Wait, what else? What am I forgetting?
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Did you say Gotham?
I don't know if I said Gotham. Maybe. I don't know. S.H.I.E.L.D. So six? We're talking about six?
Okay.
We can do this.
Let's do it, no problem.
What's your number one right now?
Walking Dead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would say S.H.I.E.L.D., to be perfectly honest.
Holy shit.
You're
he said
guy.
Number. He we said can... he said number one. And in this list, at number one
is
the best.
Is that the highest?
Yeah, it's not
S.H.I.E.L.D.
number one being the worst.
Wow.
Holy
wait.
Shit.
Why?
Let's Do you go. Mean Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Let's go. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You're not talking
Phil
about
Coulson.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. The
no,
show.
Not the S.H.I.E.L.D., the okay. cop show.
You're not talking about, like, literally a S.H.I.E.L.D. that you
not
see.
Not Cap's S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D., the stuff that kills termites, the commercial that they try to sell.
I'm digging the hell out of what they're doing with season two. Season one was a clusterfuck from here and there, but they, like... They cleaned it up, and I'm interested now. Like, I'm in it, and I it's weird. I give a shit about these characters, and I'm like, why? But they took such sort of a stinker after the pilot and turned it into something that I really care about. So I think it's the boomerang that really has me invested, if not pure quality.
I love it when a clusterfuck comes together.
It comes together!
To quote the A-Team.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry. That's, yeah. Oh, no, we don't mean to criticize your answer. I think that's
the
answer. You
here's
have a different
thing.
Opinion.
I also have been enjoying the second season. I think I've been doing a good job. I'm not totally emotionally invested in it yet. That's why I'm surprised at your answer. Also, it's the wrong answer. That was the other
reason. That's the other reason why we made fun of you. Yeah. Alex?
I think Dead's my number two.
Definitely The Flash.
Number one is The Flash.
Absolutely The Flash.
Really?
Nice.
Every single episode of The Flash makes me so happy.
It is
when
good.
I'm watching it. I love shows where people are, A, good at their jobs, and, B, actually friends. You know, shows like Cheers, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I know they were also great at their jobs.
Is The Flash the Cheers of superhero TV
I
show?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, certainly,
But it's just, it's earnest, it's funny. They find creative uses for The Flash's powers every episode. Grant Gustin is ridiculously charming. I really like the rest of the cast as well. And I love... talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to do the Marvel's post-credit tags and not quite doing it. The Flash is nailing it.
They are.
Every single episode is like a scream-worthy post-credits thing. It's just great.
I agree with you, and that Flash is my second favorite. The only thing that holds me back is some of the dialogue is cheese times cheese.
Sure.
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, but you know...
My argument is,
well, I don't know.
Cool. That's great. That really pokes
I would probably
your
put
team.
Actually Walking Dead number two.
Yeah,
I mean,
ditto,
right now.
Ditto.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
It's amazing.
This season.
The season's so great.
Yeah. So what do we have left? We have Gotham. We have Constantine, and we have
Arrow.
I'd put Arrow at my number three.
Arrow's number three for me.
Gotham number three.
Yeah. Well, you're not watching Arrow, right?
That's exactly right.
Have you been watching Constantine?
I have been. I watched a couple episodes of Constantine, and I liked it all right. I feel like the problem with Constantine is a show where it's like, who is going to watch this? Like, it's not for comic book people. It's not for regular people. It's for, I don't know, like ants.
It's riding a line
like,
for no
I mean,
one.
Like our mother's
oh,
sisters.
Okay. Not like, yeah. Not like the insects' ants or
no. Whatever. But that'd also be a tough demographic to test. To see
well,
if
I think
watching.
That's what they got
to
do with Spider-Man, right? With
what's
the Spider-Man
that?
Movies,
is get the insect demographic.
Yeah, they
got
like, well, it's clearly not working for humans, so they got to start reaching out to spiders. There's like 8 times as many spiders on the Earth as there are human beings.
I can see.
I've thought about this a lot.
I can see the ad agency being like, "You guys have been focusing on the man this whole time. We got to focus on the spider side."
Right? Plus, you're going to rejuvenate the whole industry with like spider-sized seats, and then you got to figure out how spiders can spend money. We could talk about this for a while, or we could get another question from the audience. if anybody else has a question, we will answer a question. You, sir, right there. Come on up. All right. What is your name, sir?
Andrew.
All right, nice. Andrew. What's your question?
Well, you guys kind of jokingly addressed it before, but non-geek TV shows. What's your favorite dramas out there?
Oh, we only joking.
Non-geek TV shows. Did you say favorite dramas? Dramas specifically. Okay.
This is going to be so embarrassing. Go ahead.
This
first,
is going to be embarrassing because I'll tell you what I'm watching is some pretty bad ones at this
point. Yeah, what are you watching?
I'm watching Homeland, which started out pretty bad, but it is getting better this season, right? Anybody? No, not watching it. Don't have cable. great. I'm watching The Affair on Showtime, which I actually think is pretty good. It's pretty good, right? You can just see two sides of the same story, and they're not the same because we have different perspectives. We'll talk about that after the show. We'll talk about that after the show.
Yeah, you just got married, right?
I did.
Okay, go on.
Well, it's not like I'm like, oh, this is a great affair. Because it results in murders and everyone's miserable. I'm watching Talking Dead. That's a drama, right?
Is that a drama?
That's a drama. I gotta tell you,
I'm really into Chris Hardwick's plotline this season.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty hardcore.
It's deeply diving into tragedy.
He killed that man.
I'm watching Nashville.
Oh, God.
I really am.
So, I'm sorry. What is the good drama that you're watching?
I don't know. What makes you come back and watch something? Goodness.
I don't know.
I rest my case. Unless I'm a big idiot.
Yeah. Cool.
What are you guys watching?
Yeah, I mean, my answer isn't that much better, but it's Parenthood.
Oh, that answer's worse.
I know. I'm sorry. Listen, I can't apologize for it. It's really embarrassing for me to be watching Parenthood, but it's a really good show. It's from the guy who made Friday Night Lights, so shut up.
Okay.
Parenthood is an excellent, excellent show, but I won't watch it.
Yeah?
Because, again, I don't have many dramas. I feel like I'm pretty much exclusively nerd television content at this point.
Yeah, you're a no-drama guy.
But Parenthood is so good and so, like, real. It's just all this sadness. It's just, like, so much sadness. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to experience at least 50% of this maybe eventually in my own life, so I don't really want to watch it. Like, I'd rather watch Oliver Queen bring justice to his city.
Well, that's the thing is, I think other than Parenthood and Top Chef, shows I'm like, I got another one. There's another episode of Gotham. I got to get caught up on Gotham. I got to watch Walking Dead. There's so much nerdy TV on, I don't have time for real-life things.
Yeah, like Parenthood. Yeah, like
that.
The drama Parenthood.
All right, it's very good.
Yeah, I believe you. So is Nashville.
Really?
They're really going through it.
Are you only watching it because Hayden Panettiere is on it and she was in Heroes?
No, no. In fact, she's one of my least favorite characters.
Oh, all right.
So there's a real curveball for you.
Cool. I think we have time for one more question. If anybody has one more question, anything for this guy over here, anything geeky at all?
Or about like plot points of Nashville or like any of these.
Yeah, if you have any pressing questions. I know it's the last season of Parenthood. We're all wondering about Zeke. Yes, your question.
For someone easing into comic books, what would you recommend as like a first tier?
Great.
That is a great question, but I'm going to ask you a question back. What kind of stuff do you like? Like, what are your favorite movies, TV shows? Say Parenthood.
Not Parenthood, but I used to work on Top Chef.
Oh, ding, ding, ding,
we have a million questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay, no, but what kind of stuff do you normally like?
What do we watch? I like Homeland. I've been watching The Affair. I've been watching, I just finished The Sopranos. I haven't watched anything current recently.
No, that's great. So the reason I ask that is I feel like people a lot of the time will ask, what's a basic thing that you can read to get into comics? But I think it's very specific to people, and particularly now where there's so many awesome indie comics that cater to any particular interest, it's much better to find out what do you like in general, and then you can lean into
that.
So for something like Homeland, there's a lot of good spy stuff.
I would say Dancer by Nathan Edmondson
is a great
comic that no one really talks about. It's about, and it's got a light sci-fi element that it's a sniper who is he's been cloned by the government. But it's not about like all the sci-fi elements of that. It's about this guy facing a younger version of himself, and the younger version of himself captures the girl that he loves, who's a dancer in the ballet. And it's this, and it's drawn. It's beautifully drawn, and it's just a great, great story. I wish someone would, it's a great potential. I wish someone would adapt it to a movie. It's an amazing story.
It's awesome. And actually, a lot of stuff Nathan Edmondson does, he writes really good spy stuff. He's writing Black Widow right now, right?
Black Widow and The Punisher, which both are good books.
Cool. What about Sopranos, if you're going to do something mobby?
Mobby. There's not a lot of mob. I mean, what about Scalped? It's sort of mobby. Uh-huh. That's a comic about a sort of mafioso type guy on a reservation, and about a guy who is undercover for the FBI, but he came from that area, and it's about him dealing with like being a Native American and being on the make for the government, and also committing these crimes and all the interpersonal relationships he has. It's a great comic.
Yeah.
They did like 60 issues.
Yeah, and then that's done. That's all in trades right now, so that's easy to pick up. That's by a guy named Jason Aaron, who's working on a book now that's awesome and a really great follow-up to that called Southern Bastards, which is the same sort of thing but set in the Deep South. And it's about this guy named Coach Boss, who's the coach of the football team and also the boss of the mob and runs this small town. And the first arc is this old guy comes back to town, is like, oh, that's it. I'm not taking this lying down. Picks up his old bat, goes to town, and tries to take back the town and what happens next. And it is hardcore and tense and awesome.
I think that will be a television show.
You think so?
Soon. Yeah, Southern Bastards. So it's very good. Also, one more question. Is it Top Chef or Top Scallop? I don't know if that...
What?
No, in the show, they said, this isn't Top Chef. This isn't Top Scallop, it's Top Chef.
Oh, it sounds like you said Top Scalped.
Yes.
It was really crazy.
Oh, no, Scallop.
Yeah. Scallop?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Do you have an answer?
I was going to say something, it's not... I would say almost, and I don't know if I'm making a stretch here, but basically whenever someone asks me how to get into comics or what they sort of want to read, I ask the question of superhero or non-superhero. Mm. I mean, that's sort of the line for me. If it's superhero, I try to get people to start. Actually, some of the guys on Guy Code, I've been getting them to start at Civil War, just because I feel like sort of a good, like, hey, this is the Marvel Universe, and everyone's here, and everyone's miserable. And if it's not superhero, I think one of the best to kind of get you into the genre is Lock and Key.
We always recommend that book.
Love Except Lock and Key. And not that it, I mean, it's not really I was going to say it's nothing to do with Sopranos. But maybe if you really want to stretch, the pacing of Sopranos versus the pacing of Lock and Key is something that you could actually, it's a very slow burn.
Yep.
And now, just real quick, worth it.
Who would you say your favorite character in Lock and Key is? Who's your favorite character?
Think about how you answer
this. Yeah.
Why? Is this a thing? Is it what I feel like I'm going to be instantly judged.
You are. So we don't have to really put you through it, but we were actually drawn into that book. We're character, Alex, Pete, who's usually here, and I are characters in that book.
Yeah.
Alex is drawn in. What issue is it?
It's fourth issue of the third or fourth volume, I think, as Dr. Zalbin.
Okay.
I'm helping out. And then, Pete was a recurring character in the last series.
Yep.
This is blowing my mind.
He plays a high school student who is later murdered. And I also play like a jerk who's at the prom with them.
Right.
And I look like I murdered, but I actually live. And I
appear in a one-shot. You died.
He told himself in the morning if he's just going to live through the day. He said that earlier, 24 hours. He has to live.
Did you earmuffs real quick?
Huh?
Earmuffs?
Okay. Yeah, I just turned my ears off. I'm just shut my brain down.
Yeah, no, I talked to the artist, Gabriel Rodriguez, and he's like, I'm so sorry I killed off Justin and Pete. So I don't know.
I'm going to have to go back and find you guys.
You honestly, the likeness is very striking.
All right.
It's pretty great.
I love that book.
So there you go. So thank you for recommending our book.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Is that how we're talking about it now?
I don't think so. It is a fantastic book. You should definitely pick it up. And that's it for your audience questions. Woo-hoo! All right. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek. Cool. So a couple of quick news items to talk about of The Week Geek. First of all, we've been wondering about this for a while, and now we know Michelle McLaren, TV director, directed Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, plenty of other stuff, is going to be director and working on guiding the Wonder Woman movie starring Gal Gadot.
Yes.
So what do you guys think about that choice? Are you excited about it?
I think it's amazing. The fact that they got a female director is so smart and great, and there aren't a ton of female directors in Hollywood. There should be more, and the fact that they brought her up, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think she, if you've ever seen any of her episodes of anything, they're incredibly visual.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's a ridiculous thing to say for TV, but there's a lot of directors that'll just film shot, reverse shot, shot, reverse shot, and she really plays around with light and shadow in particular a lot. I don't know what that says for Wonder Woman necessarily, but I'm just happy that she is getting a bigger budget canvas to work on more than anything.
Yeah, it's cool.
Do you know her stuff at all?
Yeah, well, I mean, I follow the shows that she's directed a couple episodes on. I think it's awesome. I think if you're going to do a Wonder Woman movie, you need someone like her at the helm, or else what the hell's the point? Like, you're just going to... Otherwise, it's just like, oh, yeah, and Wonder Woman. Like, we have Batman, Superman, all this shit, and Wonder Woman. But, like, this is like... At least it says to me that... That DC and Warner Brothers is actually like, oh, we're going to care about this now, and we're going to try to make something really great, and I hope that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, another little bit of news that came out in X-Men Apocalypse. Oscar Isaac is going to be the villain Apocalypse, which I think is a very interesting choice.
Yeah.
He's a really good actor. He's going to be in Star Wars coming up. He was, I'm completely blanking on the name of the Coen Brothers film.
Me too. Is it one, it's one about the music guy.
Yeah, the Music Man.
Yeah, that's what it was.
There you go. He was in the Music Man. He played the Music Man.
Oh man, I really don't remember.
This is terrible. I love this movie.
Someone has seen that movie?
Yeah.
Inside Llewyn Davis. That's
Thank you very much. He played Llewyn Davis in Inside Llewyn
Davis. It's a real easy on the eyes apocalypse.
Yes, it is. Well, what do you guys, other than that, I mean, do you think that's a problem at all to have hot apocalypse?
No, I think it makes him even more menacing.
Really? Like, to you?
I think the thing that's holding back Apocalypse in the comic books is he's just got a real ugly mug.
Yeah. So you're worried you're going to be sitting there in the audience with, like,
just
your
swooning.
Lady.
Yeah, just like, who am I rooting for? I want everybody to win.
I don't know. I'm not against it. I think it's a fine choice. I was just sort of married to, and I knew this would never happen, but I don't know if you saw the Photoshopped images of The Rock as Apocalypse.
Rockpocalypse?
Have you seen that?
No. And
it looked...
I can imagine
these
it
are
in
some
my head.
Detailed Photoshopped things that I was like, holy, okay. I was like, I was so sold on the idea, and I knew it would never happen. So anyone they actually cast would have kind of disappointed
me. This is the thing that not necessarily worries me a little bit, but worries the nerd in me, which is most of me.
So it worries you. Crisis happening.
Is casting Oscar Isaac, I think what they're probably going to lean in more towards is Apocalypse being a cult leader, being enigmatic, getting followers, Cult of Akaba or whoever who follow in the comics.
Akaba.
So it's going to be a little more like that rather than specifically a physical threat.
Right.
And I think the one thing that Bryan Singer in particular does not do well is final fights. Most of the final fights in X-Men movies are usually everybody splitting up, going to a separate room, or stopping and talking to each other for a while.
Yeah.
And that works okay sometimes. Like, I liked X-Men Days of Future Past a lot, but when you have somebody like Apocalypse, you want them throwing down. You want them beating the crap out of each other at the end of the movie, and I think now it's just going to be a war of words. That's all.
Long chat? Like a TED Talk, except for the superheroes.
Yeah. It's them looking up Apocalypse and trying to figure out the root of the word.
Yeah, that's great. The root of the word? Yeah. That would be a fast movie. it's going to be like Stargate.
What are you talking about?
I feel like the Apocalypse is going to go that way. It's going to have...
What way?
The Stargate way?
What does the Stargate way mean?
Well, just the way he's going to be someone who is like worshipped and whatnot, and it's going to be them sort of arriving and
breaking
through.
That's not the first thing I think of when I think of Stargate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think of the Stargate.
Which part? Where was that in the movie?
You know, I'm thinking of something different.
A lot of people think of French Stewart. That's wrong also.
What?
He's in that movie.
He is?
Yeah, he's one of the soldiers. He's a goofy soldier in that movie.
Yep.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, so if you learned nothing else from the show, go watch Stargate.
Yeah.
Cool. Real quick, before we move on, Walking Dead, the penultimate.
Yes. Real quick.
What?
Real quick.
Well, Walking Dead, the penultimate episode aired. Huge things happening. If you haven't watched, obviously, spoilers on. But what do you guys think of the episode? Are you caught up?
I'm all caught up.
Yeah, it's crazy. Here's the main thing that I want to ask. With the mid-season finale coming up, who do you think is going to die? Because somebody has to die, right?
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Are you crying?
There's a lot of characters.
Yeah.
I mean.
But I feel like nobody died in the last season finale. Nobody has died all season long. They've got
to. I hate to say it this way, but what about Bob?
All right. Okay. All right. They killed off Bob.
Yeah. Bob died.
For the most part.
Yeah. He straight up died. I mean, they probably will kill someone off. There's so many different factions. It's like who they may lose a couple people from each one, but they can't. There's certain people they can't kill.
Right.
Not going to kill Daryl. Not going to kill Carol.
Not going to kill Michonne.
Not going to kill Michonne. She's barely been in this season.
Yeah.
No Rick. No Carl. Abraham and Rosita. They're going to be around.
Yep.
Glenn. Maggie.
Sure.
Not going to be killed.
Yeah.
Who's that leave?
I think Beth.
Yeah, probably.
She's
right?
Becoming such sort of like a little badass now that like I think she's going to have some sort of heroic moment, and it's going to save the group, and she's going to.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Here's what I think indicates that Beth's going to die, and maybe I'm reading too much into the scene. There's that scene in the last episode she has with Carol where she gives her the medicine, and she talks to her for a moment, and she said, "Listen, I just want you to remember that I was here."
Yep.
Which is all past tense and all very specifically worded, I think, to indicate that
that's
she's...
That's telegraphing a bit hard, I think.
Know. I don't know, man. It would seem very final.
Yeah.
It seemed like, well, this is my swan song.
Man.
Yeah, this is the last thing I'm doing. Her and I think Tyrese is going to die.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think so. I think they're setting up a sort of battle between Tyrese and Rick. Like, Tyrese is sort of the peaceful Rick, and Rick is the mean.
Well, here's
Rick.
The thing. Did you hear Tyrese was cast on another show?
Oh, I didn't hear that, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that ruins that.
Well, then you're probably right.
10-episode miniseries.
That's fucked up, man.
But, yeah, at the same time, I feel like...
Wait, it's a limited series?
It's a limited series.
Okay.
So that's not totally incorrect.
So it's not a nail.
You could pull a Carol.
I have a very racist reason I think they're going to get rid of him.
Why? What is that?
Well, because the show pretty traditionally brings on a character of color and then kills off another character of color.
Oh, so you think the priest is going to replace Tyrese?
No, the priest replaced Bob. I think Noah replaces Tyrese.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Noah. Oh.
Every single time they've done this.
Oh, that's fucked up.
And it's gross.
You just said so many fucked up things to us in a row.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, Ferguson and birth control.
Stop saying that.
This is getting dark quick.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they're actually going to have to get dark quick because we're going to have to finish up the show.
All right.
But before we go, why don't you plug yourself? What do you want to plug?
Same stuff as before, www.wdi.pw. So many W's. Check out the stuff on YouTube, and it's all linked there. Also, I'm part of a blog podcast called Same Night Movie Review, which is basically movie reviews, stuff like that, come out every week. And obviously, Guy Code. Please check it out when it comes back in January. It is, I'm pretty proud of it. It's hilarious. So thank you very much, guys.
All right.
You bet. There you go.
Cool. A couple of things before we go. We're going to be off next week, but we'll be back on December 9th with Greg Pak.
Yes, we have on December 9th, we have Greg Pak and the comedian Mike Lawrence. It's going to be great. Great show. And then the week after that, we have Charles Sewell and another guest that we haven't been able to say yet. But it's going to be a couple. Those are our 8-year anniversary shows.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're aging so quickly.
Thanks. Yeah, and if you come to either of those shows, we're going to do the first teaser for our Kickstarter, which is pretty exciting.
Yep,
$60,
we just want to get it.
You have my $5.
We're trying to fund a trip for the three of us to go out to Hackensack.
By the way, speaking of which, the show is free, but if you would like to donate on the way out, we do pay some money to get the space and whatnot.
Right.
Please feel free to put it in that
donate to our Kickstarter.
Imposing-looking jar over there. Before we go, anything you want to plug?
Yes, friends on Facebook, so you can hear about all of our great guests. And follow us on Twitter @ComicBookLive.
Check us us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tamar Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Matt for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.